Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Ops podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. For today's podcast, we are continuing on from last week, and we'll be reviewing the support roles. We'll be going over what is expected of them, a little bit how to play them, and some heroes that are traditionally found in those positions. So starting off, let's go with position four. The soft support or roamer, depending on your team composition and how you look at them. Usually the best way I describe this hero, or I guess like the quote that I would put like right under this role, is use time wisely. And the reason why I say that is because this position is similar to mid in that their main objective is to gain map control and look for and create opportunities to gank opposing heroes. Often this hero will, or this position, will spend little time in the lane. They'll usually go with the offlaner at the beginning. They'll go there and usually spend a few minutes there, or sometimes the whole laning stage. Again, this is all generally about how your team is built and, you know, just kind of the makeup of your team in general. But usually these heroes will be the first ones to rotate and be the most active on the map next to mid. Sometimes this hero will rotate mid for a gank to help give mid an early advantage or secure the power rune. Almost if you watch pro games, you will usually see this happen almost every single time. But in lower level public games, it's not very common at all. But rotating mid as the position four, it's fairly difficult to do for a variety of reasons. Most common one is the creep wave has to be in a favorable position. You want it to be a little bit closer to your mid's tower rather than theirs, because their mid will be able to run away or disengage easier. You want to make sure you have good communication with your mid hero to know when to rotate, you know, when to initiate, when to go in, and, you know, just when to wait overall. And probably most importantly is just overall execution. Like, I know all of these reasons have kind of led up to this, but really just executing the stun or the gank in general, you know. So if you're like an Earthshaker and you want to be sure you lay down, you know, that Fissure block like precisely, or you want to make sure you land the stun or land the disable or just land the damage when you rotate there. Because if you don't, the bad part is you, in a way, you can lose a lot of time by going there. However, it's not always a bad thing if you force their mid hero to just back all the way. That can still be a win and just give your mid a lot of space. And then usually these heroes, usually the position four, will have some form of long range, as I've already said. Like, as an example, is Earthshaker is his Fissure block. And these disables or slows, they'll usually have a form of that. And another way, they'll have a lot of mobile spells, ways to close gaps fast or disengage even, or methods to move around the map quickly and or undetected. So Bounty Hunter is another common one, because he can obviously go invisible and track heroes and then kind of stalk them as they move. They'll have all these in their kit because they rely on surprising the opposing hero with a stun, disable, or high damage. And as I've already kind of alluded to, the risk of roaming around is if a gank fails and you don't get a kill, all that time spent moving through the map is essentially wasted. I mean, it can be wasted because you gain no experience and have only gotten your passive gold. One good trait that to pick up early on when moving through the map is to stack camps. So you got to be very aware of timing. So once you see like the 50 second mark hit, you should, at least this is what I try to do, is if I'm close to a camp and I'm already moving through the map, I'm like, well, I might as well stack this camp just so for my carry a little bit later on, they can come and farm it. And again, like, what's crazy with Dota is that might not always be a good thing, because some carries will love to have an early stacked camp. Other carries won't be able to take it because they won't be able to have the capability to farm it like very early on in the game. But usually it's never, in my experience at least, it's never a bad thing to do that. Because again, it's one passive way to increase your GPM, because a cool mechanic in Dota is when you stack a camp, all of the creeps that are killed that you that came alive through your stack, you get passive, you get a certain amount of gold from them. However, the another risk is if an opposing hero sees you do that, and if they take the stack, you lose out on gold and you've essentially farmed them additional creeps. Positioning and awareness are vital to this role. If the enemy heroes start moving back as you approach the lane, then usually there's a high chance that they had a ward or saw you coming in some way throughout the map at one point, or just their team is communicating really well. Hence why using time wisely is pretty critical. Some examples of heroes commonly found in this position are Earth Spirit, Lina, Earthshaker, Clockwork, Vengeful Spirit. And some of these, a lot of those can also be played as a five, or some of them could even be played as a three. But usually, the most common four is probably Earth Spirit, but that's also like higher level games. You'll see him almost every single time because he has such a good initiation, and he can initiate from like out of sight, which is, again, like I said earlier, is why you'll see a lot of these heroes have some sort of long range initiation or disable, so they can quickly get on top of the opposing hero to initiate the gank and hopefully just take them by surprise and kill them very fast. Moving on to position five, the heart support. This position, I look at it as just make life as easy as you can for your carry and your team. The heart support is the lowest level on the totem pole in regards to farm priority. Their purpose is to keep allies alive and help provide opportunity for gold and experience. This position is paired with the safe lane hero because they often have great starting abilities, such as healing or forms of disable. Often their abilities are more for utility purposes rather than damage, although in the right situation, they could definitely inflict a huge amount of damage. These heroes are usually at their strongest in the early game. And since heart supports have good spells, they aren't as reliant on items as the other positions. Usually they focus, well, not usually, most often they'll focus their gold on items for the benefit of the team, such as observer wards or sentry wards, which are the most common items they'll get, and like a smoke of deceit. As stated earlier, whenever I play this position, I always try to keep the mindset, how can I make life as easy as possible for my carry slash team? Like, so during the laning stage, there are a variety of tactics you can do to help gain an edge during that section of the game. One thing to do is to pull the creep wave to deny experience and manipulate the equilibrium in a favorable way. Another is to put a ward close to the lane so you can see the opposing hero's movements or an incoming gank. And finally, harass and j just simply harass the enemy as often as possible, just as often as you can. Use your nukes, use your spells, and just try to bully them out of lane as much as you can. Because essentially, what you're doing in this role is a lot of dirty work, so your carry can focus on getting last hits and acquiring gold as easily as possible. Then, after laning stage, the heart support will maintain vision throughout the game while attempting to deward the opposing team's vision. They'll try to set up smoke ganks, they'll stack camps, basically just try to continue or continue to try, excuse me. And to create opportunities for their team to succeed. So again, just to reiterate, I look at this position as just to make life as easy as possible for your carry and for your team. Common supports you'll see in this role are Crystal Maiden, Lion, Dark Willow. I guess she's a four, so maybe not quite as often in a five. You'll see Dazzle sometimes in this position, although I feel like he's kind of out of the meta right now. What are some other ones? Like I said in the last podcast, sometimes you even see Death Prophet in a position five. It's pretty crazy. Keeper of the Light is fairly common in this position as well. Although again, a lot of these heroes I feel like have moved to the four position now, but you can also see them in a five. But again, a common theme you'll see in these heroes, in the ones I've listed, mainly with Lion and Crystal Maiden, is at the very beginning. They both have really good stuns and disable. Shadow Shaman is another really good example of a position fight because he has two disables in his kit, a magic nuke and a spell that can push, and his ultimate is a very good lane pushing ability. One of the most common questions new players ask, and that I've seen posted on Reddit, is which position to start playing. I've seen and heard a lot of replies, kind of varying of every single position, although some more than others. And probably the most common one I've seen that people recommend is support. And honestly, I'm not, me personally, I'm not sure if I agree with that because I think support is one of the more difficult positions to execute to, based on how much responsibility and awareness that position needs to have. In no way is this saying, like, do not play the position or try it out. Rather, have in mind the expectations that fall upon a support. Because, like I said, with support, positioning is really big on those heroes because you want to harass the opposing carry, you want to pull the wave, you want to put vision up throughout the map as often as possible. So there's a lot of in the gameplay you have to kind of be thinking about and managing while you're just trying to purely play the game by itself, like trying to learn your hero or trying to play the hero and execute their spells and abilities. However, one benefit of playing support is you quickly learn a lot about disable and positioning and you know where about like what to do and when to do it essentially. If I was to suggest a position, I would say start out with position three or the off lane. Main reason I suggest that is because the heroes that play that position typically don't need a ton of items and are usually tanky, so you have a lot of health to work with. And your role is pretty straightforward. You know, you just want to disrupt the opposing carry as much as you can and usually initiate team fights because, again, with starting out and the most common, and most common, especially like lower level games, is that's the most common offlaners you'll see. They have some form of team fight, some form of utility or built-in, you know, built-in durability spell or just way to keep them alive. And obviously, you don't have to start out on position three, and you might find the support is a lot easier for you to grasp than others. And if that's the case, then definitely keep on playing. The beauty of Dota is that every position has aspects about it that are hard to learn and execute consistently. Every position will teach you different mechanics of the game. What is so fun about it is about learning all of all these positions is you will find one that you naturally gravitate to and can start finding your own identity within. And like I said, when I started out in position three. So I learned a lot about just simply surviving, you know, just not dying. So I'd always pick the tankiest hero that had some huge like team fight ability. And like I said, the most common one that I started with was Underlord, and he's actually my best hero right now. I have a 63% win rate, I think, with over 180 games with him. He's super fun. He's very easy, which is which also is a huge reason for it because people describe him as a brain dead hero, which honestly, you know, it's pretty true. Actually, his spells are not, they're not super hard mechanic wise. You just point and cast, and then the spells do the work for you. And he has a very good passive that lowers the opposing carry's damage while increasing your own for every last hit that you either get or happens near you. So he's like one example. And the reason why I picked him was because when I started playing again, he had just come out. He was just released, so not everybody knew the hero very well or understood him. So I was like, oh, perfect. So I'm going to play him because not everybody knows how to play him. So if I'm playing him wrong, nobody will know it, including me, which I guess was maybe good and bad. But anyways, the whole point was is I picked them because they were durable and they were frankly because they were easy. So I was like, I'm just going to learn one hero, play that hero a lot so I can quickly get his spells and the overall gameplay, and then I can focus on trying to get, you know, more information on just how to play the game overall and learn about the other, you know, over like 100 plus heroes and hundreds of abilities and items in it. Because like I said earlier, when you start playing Dota, it is just a fire hose of information, you know. And I've just very I'm trying to lightly touch on all these topics because, you know, you could spend so much time talking about one hero or frankly, even just one ability, because some heroes have abilities that are so dynamic and could be used in a variety of situations. But so just to reiterate, I would suggest doing the off lane because it's so easy, but by all means, try out all the positions. Probably, if I had to say the hardest position to do if you're first starting out, I would think mid, maybe, just because this all depends on how much experience you have with the game, obviously. But if you have no experience and you go mid, the hard part is you have nobody else in your lane to support you, and it's just you and one other hero. So you have to know your hero very well, and you have to know the opposing hero very well. The good thing about going mid is you very quickly learn matchups and other heroes' abilities and what their strengths and weaknesses are. So like if you're going up against an Ember Spirit mid, you can quickly learn, some quick observations about him. It's like, oh, he is extremely elusive. He has one ability where he literally disappears and just hits everything, all the creeps around, in a just once in a certain amount of time. And then his ult is that he can literally just cast a remnant and then just fly to it. And then he also has another ability that soaks up magic damage. So he can, so he's very elusive and re a very mobile hero. Or if you're going against a sniper, personally, playing as a sniper in lane is just so hard. And for a long time, he was like my go-to ban hero because he just irritated me so much. But it's also, again, because I feel like because he's a very good laning hero, because he can sit back so far away and just right click and pester you, and then his ult he can cast from even further away, and it's like a pretty it's a very significant magic nuke. But if you get on top of him, and if you have really good damage, he has no escape at all, and he's very slow. And these are all things that mid teaches you really fast. So I mean, if you want to get into the furnace, you can definitely try mid. It's hard, but it's a lot of fun too. That's the position I play the least, I would say. It's a lot of fun. I only have like three heroes that I pick mid, one of them being Dragon Knight, just because he is so easy and he can just sit in lane and he never leaves. But it's whatever. Just try out all the positions, look at the common heroes found in those positions, and I would take the common heroes first, and then you can try to experiment later on. But just try them all out. The more you play the positions, the more you learn about the game and about the heroes themselves. That is all for today's episode of Dota Obs Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it and were able to learn something from this. The website is getting close to being done, so once it is, it will act as a kind of central hub for all this content and more. So if you want more in-depth analysis, or I'll also type up everything about the episode as well. So if you'd rather just read it rather than listen, you'll be able to go there and do that as well. And it'll be a place that you can that we can have further interactions. You can ask more questions, and I'll just provide more various content outside of the podcast as well on there. So good luck and have fun in your future games.